you're on tape, today's test is Judges and Ruth, File 12. Stay tuned while I add a question to the end of the test. Does everybody have a copy of the test? Add this question to page 3. Question 15. Give antitypes for the following people in the book of Ruth. And this is when we went over the typological overview of the book. We gave antitypes for the main characters. So, Elimelech, his two sons, Naomi, his wife, the two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, and then Boaz, and the unknown kinsman. Seven types here, and you have to give me an antitype for them. So, question 15, add this to the test on page 3, file 12. Elimelech, two sons, Naomi, Ruth, Orpah, Boaz, unknown kinsman. How many points? Let's see here. How many points are there on the whole test? Well, let's just make them worth 2 points apiece. If you're on tape, be sure to add one question to the end of the test. I don't expect this test to take you the whole period today, so when the majority of people get done, we'll start figuring out how much we can get corrected today. If you're done, you should be reading 1 Samuel. May need more time. Take about another minute or two and we'll correct them. Thank you. straight papers and correct it. Correct with a different color. Keep track of minus points. List the 13 judges found in the book of Judges. They don't have to be in any order. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Bimelech, Tola, Jair, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson. If you can recognize it, it's correct. This isn't a spelling test. Question 2. Abimelech was not really a judge. He's not anointed. Didn't deliver Israel. Four judges outside the book of Judges: Moses and Joshua, Eli and Samuel. Moses and Joshua, Eli and Samuel. Six servitudes in order. Israel served either Mesopotamia or Cushan-Rishathaim, delivered by Othniel. B, Israel served, was it Moab or Eglon, delivered by Ehud. C, you can put the Philistines and Shamgar in there if you want, kind of as a substitute. Then, the king of Canaan, or the Canaanites, delivered by Deborah. Go ahead. King Jabin is correct. Then Midian, delivered by Gideon. Then Ammon, delivered by Jephthah. The Philistines, delivered by Samson. Go ahead.
Was Deborah Amalekite?
With Deborah, the Amalekites. Yeah, I think they were in there, weren't they? Well, it says in order. So I guess they have to be in order. If they're out of order but correct, give them some half credit in there somehow. Well, if they put Shamgar in there and the Philistines, we'll let them use that as a substitute. He only needs six to get it right. Question 5. What other title is given to the judges? Deliverers or saviors. The Lord raised up saviors is a quote. Saviors is the answer. You only need it in one blank.
So deliverers
is both?
Saviors is technically correct. Scripturally correct. We'll let deliverers be right here, because that's what we've been calling them all along. 6. The judges were chosen by God. B. 7. True. Within the books, the chronology is somewhat uncertain.
Lenny, you said somewhat uncertain. I agree with that, but you said very uncertain.
Very uncertain.
Because we talked about it in class and you gave the argument and stuff that it was uncertain, but it was pretty well, you could figure it out.
I suppose what we mean by chronology is being able to date the events. It's impossible to date the events. We'll let you have it either way here if you took it another way. Question 8 is false. The 480-year chronological statement spans the whole book of Judges. Question 9. How many years does the book of Judges cover? Approximately B, 250 years. Question 10. Whom do the following represent? The olive tree was Gideon. Fig tree were the sons of Gideon. The vine was Jotham. The bramble was Abimelech. Go ahead.
For number 9, in my notes I looked this morning, and as far as time, the book of Judges, you said, covered approximately 250 years. But as far as events, you said there were over 400 years.
Well, there are 400 years of events, 410 years of events, but a lot of them are contemporary. I mean,
they're overlapped.
Right.
And
since 410 years isn't an option to pick here, the actual time period of the judges is about 250 years. Lou. Yes. Remaining son. Go ahead. We didn't make any applications along those lines, so we won't be able to give credit for those. Question 11. Nazirite vow. Abstain from touching a corpse. And you can't really put an unclean thing here. It says touching a dead body. It doesn't say anything about unclean things. B. Abstinence from the grape or wine. C, could not cut his hair. Question 12. The long hair symbolized submission. Submission. Question 13. Who did what? A is Othniel. Left-handed Benjamin is Ehud. C, called Jerubbaal Gideon. D, under Nazirite vow, Samson. E, his name means Lion of God, Othniel. F, delivered from Midian, Gideon. G, slew 600 Philistines, Shamgar. H, delivered Israel from Eglon, by the way, on part G. Some of you are being attacked by 600 demons. Don't quit. Be like Shamgar. H. Delivered Israel from Eglon, king of Moab. Ehud. I. Delivered Israel from the king of Mesopotamia. Othniel. J. Slew Gideon's sons, Abimelech. K, delivered Israel from Ammon, Jephthah. L, rent a lion with his bare hands, Samson. M, assisted Barak, Deborah. N, sang a song, Deborah. O, built an altar and called it Yahweh Shalom, Gideon. P, ruled Israel as an usurper king, Abimelech. Q, made an ephod, which Israel worshipped, Gideon. R, took a Philistine for his wife, Samson. S, made a rash vow, Jephthah. T, slew 1,000 Philistines, Samson. U, dwelt in the land of Tob, despised by his brethren, Jephthah. V, fought against odds of 450 to 1, Gideon. W, laid 2 fleeces, Gideon. X, fought against Ephraim, Jephthah. Y, Israel asked him to rule as their king, Gideon. I don't think Abimelech will fit very well there. That was men of Shechem. Z, said to be the son of a harlot, Jephthah. Double A, birth foretold by an angel, Samson. B, conquered by his enemies. Well, Samson's probably what I had in mind, but Abimelech fits. C. Prophetic ministry, Deborah. D. Critically wounded by a woman. Abimelech got hit with a millstone. I know everybody put Samson down here. Abimelech's the answer. I guess we'll let Samson slide. She smote him. I don't consider that a critical wound. But you're taking it a certain way. Question 14. List three duties of the kinsman redeemer. One is to redeem your relative's land and or person or persons. Two is to raise up children to a widow with no heir. Three, to avenge the blood of a manslayer. Avenge the blood of a manslayer. Question 15. Antitypes. Elimelech represents Israel. And you can say in captivity. Going out in captivity because of famine. The two sons represent succeeding generations of Israel who die in the land, die in captivity, never return back to God. Naomi represents the remnant of Israel returning. Ruth represents the bride of Christ, or the Gentiles coming into Christ. Orpah represents those that profess truth and desire but don't come all the way. I don't know how you want to word that, but the idea is those that hear the message and don't come. Okay, those that stay in the world, compromise and so forth, that'll be okay. What? The visible church, I think we'll accept that. We talked about that. Well, the problem with backsliders is that she never got all the way into backslide. Boaz, Christ, unknown kinsman, the law who sought to redeem but could not. Go ahead. Those who die under judgment. Well, if he has Elimelech right, then we'll give him credit. But if he doesn't have Elimelech right, then we won't. Go ahead. Well, I don't know how they get the church in there. Give them half credit. It doesn't have anything to do with the church. Go ahead. Yes. Said to be. Huh? Yes. The answer is Abimelech. I mean, the answer is Jephthah, not Abimelech. No, Jephthah won't work. I mean, Abimelech won't work.
On the six Boaz, she has kinsman redeemer, but she has type of Christ crossed out.
Well, let's circle that and give her credit. Look. That's okay. That's good. The law. Go ahead. 2 points apiece. Not accurate.
And all the way through the whole text. Put Elimelech. Every place that it was Elimelech. And then here we used Elimelech. Another text.
Well, we'll have to give him wrong here, but this obviously he's got
okay.
Yeah,
this was right, but all this finished everywhere.
Yeah.
It's all wrong.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He'll be okay. He looks like he's doing pretty well. 94, I think. Has everybody looked over their test? Pass them up to the front if you've looked them over.
Is that one okay?
Yes.
Is it okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go ahead. 94 total, I believe. Go ahead. Come up with what? Come up with what? I'm the one that goes up the test. I can't understand what your point is. I think 69 were killed. Does it say killed 70?
Yeah, that's
I don't know the answer to that. Thank you. Six minutes worth of 1 Samuel. Got to have something to go on. First Samuel chapter 15. Saul said to Samuel, verse 24, I have sinned, I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, because I feared the people. Therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. Samuel said, I will not return with thee. Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. Now I believe Samuel turned to leave. Saul reached out, grabbed his garment, and it tore. Samuel glanced back, using that as a figure or metaphor, and said, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. He is not a man that he should repent. Now in verse 29, God said, he is not a man that he should repent. In verse 11 and verse 35, he says, it repenteth me that I made Saul king over Israel. Some would ask, isn't that a contradiction? But yet the writer then is accused of contradicting himself in the same page. I believe verse 11 and 35 are speaking after the manner of men. And verse 29 is speaking after the manner of God. God, who knows the future, does not repent of anything that happens. He's able to change the course of history. He's not in a position to make a mistake. He's not in a position to make a decision and then regret it later, since he knows the future. But verse 35 is speaking after the manner of men. Verse 30. Then he said, I have sinned. Honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. Now, why is Samuel so hard on Saul? Because Samuel's trying to get through the pride and rebellion and stubbornness and try to evoke some real repentance out of him. And so Saul got a little desperate there, and in verse 30, he cried out. Samuel turned again after Saul. Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Agag came unto him delicately. That is, softly. He knew he was in a real shaky position here. Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. The battle is over. It's surrender. Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. Law of retribution. Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Gentle Samuel, the little boy with a coat, who said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, took the sword and hacked the king of the Amalekites in pieces. Now, a lot of people wonder what got into Samuel. I'll tell you what got into him. God's anointing. This is a typological picture of how you're to treat the enemy of your soul. We have too many peacenik Christians. Christians with detente with the enemy. Or Christians like the Judahites who delivered up Samson to the Philistines saying, know ye not, the Philistines rule over us, i.e., don't rock the boat, don't rebuke demons, don't stir up a hornet's nest, don't provoke the enemy to a fight. We're at a nice, peaceful truce right now. Let's stay there. But what you don't know is that the enemy is like the communists. He is working to gain advantage over you. In verse 30, Saul is seeking his own honor. Honor me before the people. Saul wanted the people's honor, but I don't think he had God's honor. Jesus talked about this in John 12:43. There are men that seek the honor of men and not of God. Saul was repenting over the results, not over the crime, not over the disobedience to God. There are people that repent, all right. They repent over spilt milk, but they don't repent over the fact that they were in disobedience. They repent because they got caught. They repent because their life's now a mess. The crop has come in, and boy, is it a mess. And boy, are they regretting it. But they're not truly repenting over sin. They're repenting over the mess that they've made. Saul regrets what happens here. But does he really regret? Has he really a changed man? In chapter 16, he gets a demon. Doesn't appear to be a changed man. Now, with Samuel slaying Agag, remember Elijah slew the prophets of Baal, or had them slain one way or the other. This is the same in Romans 7, verse 18. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Colossians 3, 5. Mortify your members that remain on the earth. Mortify them. Treat them like Samuel treated Agag. And Galatians 5, 24. Same thoughts there. With verse 35, pray that God not repent of his call to us. Pray that God not say, it repenteth me that I have sent my love among the chapelites. As God looks down and sees the mess that we've become, so to speak, if we look at all the negative fruit. Pray that God not repent of what he has done.